call for order the meeting for Wednesday, June 14th. And this is the immediately following the joint session, City of Waldorf City Council. We have a quorum. We have no recognitions or proclamations, so we move directly to the consent calendar. The consent calendar item is of routine nature or things we've previously heard. Is there anything you'd like to identify or make comments on?
I'll move for approval of the consent calendar.
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. We go down to public hearings, none. Decision and action items, none. So discussion and information in order concerning the removal of a homeless person from public property in Lincoln County. Jerry Herbich.
Thank you. So, yeah, I'm Jerry Herbich. I'm the Assistant County Counsel. I actually have three topics I'm going to talk about tonight. The first will be homeless camping, and then we'll move to organized events. And organized events are matters like parades and walk-a-thons and those sorts of things that are done on county roads. So we'll talk about that. And finally, mass gatherings, extended mass gatherings, and small gatherings. And to everyone here, there's a little difference between the three topics. So the first one that came up, homeless camping, is in the form of an order. So there's no need for two readings, but you can have as many as you want. It has less of the formalities. And the reason why we're here to talk about homeless camping is found right in the statutes. They put it in the same statutes that concern county governing bodies. And ORS 203-079 tells us that each county and municipality, which includes their cities, have to have a homeless policy. And so it has to recognize the social nature of the problem of homeless individuals camping on, and it says public property. And we have to implement a policy to ensure the most humane treatment for removal of homeless individuals from camping sites on public property. So that's our charge. And I've drafted for you an order for your consideration. And perhaps you can talk about it briefly. One of the things I've noticed about my boss here, Wayne Belmont, is that he is very much into process and vetting and so on. So we've had this in the works for a while, and we had a meeting on April 27th with the Sheriff's Office, Road Department, Health and Human Services, and Council's Office, and went over some issues of a draft, and actually it's been amended a bit. Wayne also recommended that this be sent out to Linda Gast, who's the Legal Aid Services of Oregon attorney, and we got some comments from her, and actually incorporated them into the order. So let's go over this. This one is the simplest of the three things we'll talk about tonight. In the sense that it has the fewest provisions. And what this does is that it adopts a policy for homeless camps on public property. In reality, this will apply primarily to county property because it's a county policy. We won't generally be doing this within cities and that kind of thing. And what it does is it establishes a rule, and that's in subsection B after the definitions, that no person can camp on public property after they receive notice to basically leave from the sheriff. And that notice is a 24-hour notice. So you post a 24-hour notice at a homeless camp, And then if you look at subsection C, indicates what needs to be in the notice. It's a 24-hour notice. It tells people that the personal property will be removed 24 hours later, and anyone remaining 24 hours after the posting may be subject to removal. There's a provision for property. The property must be, there's exceptions, but generally the property is stored, and it's stored for 30 days, and the notice gives contact for local agencies. So this would be posted, also be given to the homeless people who were in the camp. And based on comments from Legal Aid, we had some language that where we talk about 24 hours, that's the minimum, and we could certainly do more. And we're going to notify certain social agencies of this posting so they can help out. It talks about an optional meeting. And it explains where the notice requirement, this 24-hour notice posting, doesn't have to happen. That is, if you have illegal activities going on, an emergency, you know, an exceptional emergency, contamination of hazardous materials, and so on and so forth. These sorts of things, there are some exceptions. But even when we don't give notice, we're going to still store this property for 30 days and give people an opportunity to reclaim it, okay? And it's possible that some of the property may be valueless, may be contaminated. There may be some reasons why it will need to be destroyed. But generally, the rule is you keep the property for 30 days. So this is the proposal in a nutshell. It really follows the statutes pretty well. Sometimes we're doing our own home spinning and stuff. Sometimes you kind of look at the statute and, you know, that's kind of what you see. So if there are any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer those. As it is an order, you have the opportunity if you want to approve it. But if you would like for this to come back to you for, say, a second time or a third time, that's quite fine as well.
So I have a question then.
Yeah.
And I think you missed on one of the more important parts. It says the personal property that has no apparent utility or unsanitary conditions must may be immediately discarded. More or less, junk is junk and we're going to throw it away.
Yes, the law allows for that.
That's, and then it says weapons, drugs, and things like that are not going to be kept for 30 days.
Yeah.
So
they'll be turned over to law.
They'll be turned over to law enforcement.
Right.
Weapons and things like that.
But they're gone for all practical purposes because I don't want to be housing people's weapons. That's always a problem with these people. Well, I had this weapon, all right.
With the homeless camping notice really applies, and it concerns the camping part of the whole thing. To the extent that there's other unlawful activities, those are going to be handled in the ordinary course. So it would not be unusual in a homeless camp for there to be a weapons issue or drugs or whatever. There may or may not be those things, but if they are, they can be handled in the ordinary course.
Any questions?
No. Seems pretty
simple. What do you want to do? Do you want to deal with this now, or do you want to...
I'd rather bring it back at least one more time.
Okay.
I guess I'd like to say I attended the City County Insurance Services Conference, and this was a subject of one of the panels. And frankly, this is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but to some degree, kind of housekeeping.
It's housekeeping.
A policy that we haven't had.
Right.
Yeah.
The it's risk crime. Management really in part two because there was litigation actually the City Corvallis didn't follow the right procedure policy and got sued and actually lost. And so it's sort of we've informally done just followed the state law as a policy, but we wanted to make sure that if this is used, and there's no immediate plans that we're going to be using it, but if it is used, at least we'll know the correct procedure.
So, again, in a general sense, we're not going to be doing anything differently than we have been.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm fine with bringing it back next week or whenever is appropriate.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. The second item is an ordinance. So as Wayne, as you go through, ordinarily, I think you don't read your
fire. It's already requested that this ordinance be done full by the commissioners here, none of Mr. Chair.
Please do not read it full.
Okay, so I understand there will not be a filibuster.
So I'll read it after you back, Mr. Chair.
Relating to the regulation or organization of events on county roads.
Thank you.
This is the first reading.
Okay, so on the second item, a little bit of history, but I'll be brief. This is regulating organized events. I briefly talked about that. That means organized events are regulated under this ordinance, like parades and walkathons and bikeathons and those sorts of things. And so this has come before the Board of Commissioners at a work session, or whatever you call it, just a discussion item on your May 31st agenda. And the board instructed us at that time that it was not interested in adopting this as an emergency. So this means that there'll be at least two readings. And under the law, generally, then it takes effect 90 days after passage. That's in the way of procedure. In terms of ordinance, I think the most important thing I can tell you is that I did make one change to the ordinance from the version that you saw earlier at your work, at your discussion on May 31st. And if you go to page 3, the sub 3, I added that as parallel language to what is in the mass gatherings ordinance. And that the purpose is to give some flexibility on this topic. And this is something that Roy was talking about, Roy Kenyon, who's here on the meeting we had on the 31st. It says, notwithstanding the above, the county roadmaster may waive all or part of the permit requirements upon a showing by the applicant of good cause when no significant public health, safety, or welfare issues are involved, or when the county roadmaster determines that no county law enforcement or other county resources are necessary. That's all new language. Everything else is the same. So I put in some flexibility language. As the board recalls, we want to keep this short. This is an ordinance that regulates events I talked about by a permit system. And the permit is handled through the road department without the board having to be involved. If someone doesn't like the decision of the department, which will probably come from more opinion, they have the opportunity to go to circuit court on a writ of review. This keeps the board out of the process. It tells you what needs to be in the permit application. It tells you the contents of a permit that will be issued. Are you under the review procedure? There are ways that the permit can be revoked. Wayne pointed this out in our prior meeting that these sorts of ordinances are important for health and safety, but also in terms of liability issues for the county. And so the ordinance is designed to take in consideration both. There are insurance requirements. There are requirements relating to health and safety as well. And if you have any questions about this, I'd be happy to try to answer.
Roy, are you satisfied with this?
Yes.
You think this is the right way, and you're, because you're going to be the one in charge, it looks like.
Yeah, what this does then is allow us, the road department, to take the next step and actually update the permit application that we were using. Like I said last time, the application that we have people fill out now is archaic. It's very generalized. One does not fit all. And so this actually streamlines things, and so we will have basically two permits, one for utility companies and construction within the right-of-way, which is kind of the form we're using now for everything, and then we will have an application directly related to events and this performance.
Okay. Any questions?
No.
No. Question, you want to bring it back then next week?
Well, no, actually, we'll bring it back for a second reading. It'll be 2 weeks from now.
Yeah. Okay. Second reading, 2 weeks from now.
That's fine with me.
Okay. Move down to item C, Jerry?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. Relating to small gatherings, outdoor and mass gatherings, and extended outdoor mass gathering permits.
Right. We need the same protocols before that. We need indication that no board member wants this.
Oh, that's right. Is there any request from the board that this ordinance be read in full? Hearing none, would you read the ordinance by title only, please?
Okay. This is the first reading relating to small gatherings, outdoor mass gatherings, and extended outdoor mass gatherings permit.
This is, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is parallel to the organized events we just had. It's a permit system. It's a tool. One of the things that it does, let's understand this. If we did nothing on this ordinance, you know, mass gatherings and extended mass gatherings are covered by statute. They're covered by Chapter 433. But the problem is that you can have an event that significantly impacts visitors, locals, everybody, that wouldn't fall under the definition of mass gathering. That requires more than 3,000 people. And so, you know, when I was down in Curry County, they had Cape Michael Country Music Festival, and suddenly there's 18,000 people in the county. You know, that requires, of course, a lot of work on health and safety and all that stuff. But you can have something that's a lot smaller than that, and there's still, I think, some real concerns for the public's health and safety. So what this does, and the board actually directed this at your work session and the discussion period on May 31st, is that we will regulate small gatherings as well under this ordinance, and that will be more than 300 persons. Okay.
Right. I think your initial draft said more than 400, and
that's right.
Right down to 300.
And the board said, let's make that 300.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made that change. And I had gone over the provisions with you before. But I also received some comments over the phone, and we talked a couple times, and she's here, Louise Soliday.
Louise Soliday.
Yeah, Soliday. And I appreciated her comments. You know, in this area, as I understand, there's been an annual event, the Beloved event, and there have been some, also today or yesterday, someone talked to me about the Abate event. And
others.
And there's others. And there are others. And so when I talked to Louise, she had made some suggestions, and there are some changes to the draft that you had on the 31st. I'd like to go over those with you, and then we can highlight some other things if you would like. So if you go to page 2, please. There's a definition for extended outdoor mass gathering, which is largely the definition found in the statutes. At the end of that, I added the language, by this definition, no more than one extended mass gathering may be held at the same location within a 3-month period. Now, we felt that it really said that before, but this makes it explicit, mm-hmm. so that no one should understand otherwise. The language is right there. Then, if you go to the next page, and so we have a definition for outdoor mass gathering, again, largely what the state definition is. It has the same language at the end. No more than one mass gathering may be held at the same location within a 3-month period. We did the same thing for small gathering. Now, there are some other changes, and you just mentioned one of them, Commissioner Hall. From the original draft, yeah, we did go down to 300 persons. And the proposal I have here, and you can think about this, is that we kept the 6 hours, you know, continues for more than 6 hours, but instead of saying 72, I put in, but not more than 120 hours. And one of the reasons why is because I have been advised that there are a couple of get-togethers, we already mentioned a couple of them, that last longer than 72. And it gets if we're really going to try to regulate them, it might be better that they fit within the definition. You can think about how you want to handle that. Because if they don't fit in the definition, then our position is that you've got to satisfy planning. It's got to satisfy the first article in our code. If it doesn't, then it can't be authorized.
So, if I may,
yes.
What's so magical about 120 hours, since that's like 4.5 days?
Well, it's the same. That's a good question. And the answer, I would say, is it's the same hour limit for mass gatherings, which is already in the statutes. And if it goes more than 120, it becomes extended mass gathering and becomes a land use decision. It has to go through the planning commission.
Okay.
So
can I never do this, but Louise, since you're here and respectful of your past position as a director of an agency like this, you've looked over this code and you're satisfied that we're headed in the right direction?
Yeah, I'm going to comment.
Please, I want you to.
You want me to do it now?
Yes, you're welcome to do it now because we're on this subject and I know
you. Can I suggest maybe, Louise, just to get, because Jerry has actually already incorporated a number of.
Okay, we haven't gotten through all
of them. When Jerry's done, then have Louise comment.
Okay. So based upon her comments, if you go to page 6, sub 12 there, we added this language. This was our intent, but it's explicit. If a permit for a proposed event under this ordinance cannot be issued because the proposed event does not meet the definition of small mass gathering or extended mass gathering, the proposed event shall not be authorized unless it otherwise complies with Chapter 1 of the Louis County Code. Okay, so you've got to comply there if it does fall into one of the categories. Then we did one more change. A second here. There's some flexibility on this, but let's go over this. We're on page 12. We're on sub 3. This is a deletion of language, so I'm going to go over the language I'm proposing to delete. It was there with you on the 31st. The use of amplification for the small gathering, small mass gathering, or extended mass gathering shall be regulated so that it will not interfere with the normal use of any school, church, residence, or other permanent place of human habitation unless prior written consent is obtained from all affected persons. And I'm not sure if this is the remedy that Louise wanted, but she pointed out, and I think it was a very good point, this language would be about impossible to enforce. I mean, I'm not sure what it means, and so we can look at some other things. Her concern, and when I had a good conversation with her, and I very much appreciate input, is that when the Beloved Festival goes on, that they don't, she and Tom have trouble sleeping, okay? I mean, that's the comment I heard. It kind of goes on into the night kind of a thing. And I have hours listed here. I have not amended those hours. Those hours could be amended. The hours of this noise thing depends upon whether you're within 1,000 feet of any residence and so on. But we have the hours of 12:01 a.m. and 9 a.m. and in other areas, 2 a.m. to 8 a.m. She commented were like bar hours or something, And so those could be amended, and maybe that's one way. At least that is more solid in terms of enforcement. I think the language about that something will interfere with normal use. I mean, what is normal use? And, we took that off of and then somebody else's ordinance, but I think it's not very good language. So, anyway, those were the comments, those were the changes we made, and I wanted to go through those I've gone through this with you before. I've got other comments I could make, but we want to keep it brief, and I know the chair always says move along. So I can step aside and if you have any additional questions.
So I'd like to ask Louise to come forward. The only reason I'm doing it is because I respect your experience in the field, and being a director of a state agency, it gives us an opportunity. Specifically, I was worried mostly originally when I wanted, was the numbers correct to fit, compatible with state? Well, you probably looked at that number of people.
So I am confused about one thing in all of this. So first of all, I want to thank the county for doing this. If you'll jettison back to 2014, Louise Soliday, Tidewater, Oregon. We live about a half mile from the property known as Tidewater Falls.
Would you explain your position you held at the state?
Former director of the Department of State Lands and former policy advisor to two governors in natural resources.
And Louise, how do you spell your name?
S-O-L-L-I-D-A-Y. Okay. So I want to thank the county for doing this. Tom and I and our neighbors have been dealing with this issue for a number of years, and 2014 brought things to a head when another event area got shut down in Lane County, and all of those major events moved to Tidewater Falls, and so we were faced with five very large events in addition to a couple dozen smaller events, weddings, and those sorts of things up the hill from us. We had to deal with traffic, fire danger, 24/7 amplified music. So it's not just end of the night, it's 24/7. They're scheduled to have music 24/7 at the event that's still going on now, which is full of it. Trespass issues, littering issues. So we've dealt with everything you can imagine when you bring a couple thousand people into a rural area, and it hasn't been fun. We ended up filing a complaint with the county. The county was responsive to that, put the landowner on notice that he was out of compliance with the law. And since then, there has been a single large event, the Beloved Festival, on the property. And I have to say, of all the events that took place up there, Beloved has been the best to work with. They've already been to our house about this summer's event, asking us what they can do to accommodate, and they talked to all the neighbors, so they've been really good to work with, unlike some of the other events. I'm glad to see that you made it very clear that they're only allowed to do one of these in a three-month contiguous time frame on a single property, because it wasn't clear in the ordinance. There was a section in the definitions, but it really wasn't clear. I'm still confused about the language has now been changed on the small gatherings to be less than 120 hours. So the Beloved Festival, with all the setup and stuff, is over 120 hours and less than 3,000 people. So I'm not sure what you're doing with that. Are you requiring them to go through some other process that's not covered under this ordinance? And is that the intent? Because we don't want to shut down the Beloved Festival. We're fine with them being there. We want some regulations. So you might want to, it may be that a small event is any length of time.
Well, no, we don't.
And I don't know what the 120 hour.
I'll defer to Jerry, but let me try and answer that, Louise, if I can. Because I think the idea was, again, we're trying to pick some numbers that are consistent with state law we're doing there. There's no magic to that. We could extend that, and if it would fit that event to say 160 hours, 140 hours, that's something we could do.
Okay.
But they also could come back in, and we could tell them, look, if you want to have this event, you need to limit it to 120 hours, which means they'd have to plan their setup and then their actual activity. So, I think maybe we can have some further, a little bit of dialogue with them and see what, you know, where we are. That number's not magic.
Okay. I don't want them to have to go through some really high level. They're not the issue for us. It is the much bigger stuff and the folks who aren't so respectful of residents. So then on the restricted hours and 4.8, so Jerry, did I understand you deleted Section 3 completely?
No.
Okay.
I did not. I left the language in there.
The amplification language is still there?
Yeah.
Well,
you just took out normal use and replaced it, so I didn't understand what you did there.
What page are we on?
Page 12, sorry. Okay. In 4.48, I'm trying to figure out what's happened to section 3 in the new draft. I haven't seen the new draft because your packet wasn't posted yesterday when we were on the original.
Okay, so on 12, the language in 3, the gathering must comply with the Lincoln County Noise Ordinance, and it gives a citation. That is still there.
Okay, so to be candid, that's a useless ordinance in the context of these events. It's for really loud machinery and those sorts of things. I've already looked at that ordinance. It doesn't help. So in number 1, I would ask that you extend that period that you now have identified as 2 a.m. to 8 a.m. as the no music nothing can be conducted in those hours, to maybe think about extending it to midnight to 9 a.m. or midnight to 8 a.m. Regardless of whether, you know, there are a couple people who are 1,000 feet, within 1,000 feet of Tidewater Falls, as the crow flies directly down the hill. We're about a half mile, and we can hear loud music all night long. When Beloved comes in, they start music on Saturday, and they go all Saturday night, all day Sunday, and into Monday morning. So that's what we deal with. And if the wind is blowing in our direction, we hear it. If it's blowing downriver, the downriver people hear it. The people who live right below it hear it all night long. So that's the remaining issue for us with the Beloved Festival, is that amplified music. We don't care if they play acoustic music all night long, but the amplification is the thing that's interfering with our ability to sleep at night. In fact, last year Tom spent 2 nights in a hotel in order to be able to sleep, and we shouldn't get chased out of homes when these things come. So I'd like you to think about how to deal with that issue a little bit further. And then the one last thing that I was rereading the ordinance yesterday, and I picked up on, and this is not our issue, but the county may want to think about this. In 4.49, let's see here on page, I think it's page 14, I don't know if it is in the new draft, but you're 4.49 and you're 4.495. So you have a situation now where both alcohol and marijuana are legal, and you must purchase them from a licensed dealer. The way this ordinance is written, you can't bring alcohol onto the site, but you could bring marijuana under 4.495. So the county might want to think about whether you want to treat those two the same or differently. My guess is you'd want to treat them the same, even that they're now the same under the law. But I'll leave that for you to figure out. And as I said, it's not my issue, but you may want some consistency with how you're treating alcohol and marijuana. And that's it. And again, thank you. I really appreciate you doing this.
Well, back to my original question. It's compatibility with state laws. Have you looked at that thoroughly?
Yeah, so there's a mass gathering. It's 433, I think, ORS 433 something, that does deal with mass gatherings, and it places this limit of one in a three-month period of time on those events. So it is, the ordinance is consistent with that, or that state statute. There's also case law, the Lindstrom case out of Lane County, which is what sort of shifted all the events to Lincoln County, is a Luba case, and it's pretty clear you can only have one of these events in a 90-day
period. How about for hours of operation?
Does not have hours of operations. They do require public health and other permits for events over 3,000. And you've already covered that in your ordinance, so that's consistent with state law also.
Yeah. So the one place where we did deviate is by putting hours limitation in.
Yeah, you're setting levels of permitting, and I get that.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Chair Thompson, I think there might be others in the audience that might want to speak on the ordinance too. Maybe it's a good time to take any additional comments.
I'd like Jerry. Did you want to respond back to this, and then we'll
leave. Okay, and then more comments. Yeah.
Just a couple of comments on the unlawful controlled substances prohibition, which was referenced. You know, under Oregon law, you can, I guess, pack a little small amount of marijuana on your person. And I ran this by Rob Bevette for particular language, and he actually suggested this language, so that's where that came from. Just recognizing how Oregon's law has a little quirk about it as it relates to marijuana. That's why we use the language. And
so I can ask a question related to that. So since it is legal to carry it on your person, was the feeling an outright prohibition would be essentially unenforceable or yes. conflict with state law?
Both of those things. Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know to what extent I want to advertise that, but yeah, that's the situation.
Okay. That makes sense.
And on the alcohol, we just, at these events, we want them to go through a licensed
right. not
person, no. not, yeah. you know, everybody bring their stuff that's going to cause health and safety issues.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I those are the comments I wanted to make. Thank you.
Okay, is anybody else would like to speak to this ordinance before?
Terry, can you make sure they sign in too, please?
Would you make sure and sign in sheet with your name?
Thank you.
After the fact, I'll sign in.
Okay.
Okay.
What's over there? When you get a chance, guys.
Okay.
You can identify yourself.
So, this is for the board.
Thank you.
And my name is Mona Linsterberg, and Louise referred to the LUBA appeal, and that was Linsterberg et al.
Sorry.
Okay. So, yes, I in my comment here, I point out that this is purely anecdotal, and the two I'm basing it on are the Beloved concert, which I drive through as I live in the Five Rivers area. And when I drive through when they're having that concert, and the main small gathering was the Prindle Creek, up in the Five Rivers area, and the actual venue was in Lane County, but because of the way that Prindle Creek is situated, all the roads, pretty much the access to it, was Lincoln County roads. And so I do have gone through the proposed ordinance, and there are some areas I've pinpointed that I'm interested in and having some clarification. But I think my main one is the in the proposed ordinance, it does refer to with the fire hazards, the various agencies that would be required to deal with these, especially, again, I'm talking about the small gatherings, not the mass gatherings or the extended gatherings, but again, those have fire hazards, is that all the agencies that we dealt with did not deal really with the, were not proactive in dealing with the events. We only dealt with the situation after the fact, so like during the height of fire season, and there was a no ban, they had fireworks at Prindle Creek. And so nothing was really done until after the fact, and still the state agency, the fire marshal, did nothing about the fact that they had fireworks, so there were no ramifications for them having fireworks. They also used accelerants, and we did collect evidence in all of this, and no one was interested in pursuing that. And I know that it's, you know, with budget cuts and everything, that even though it sounds like there will be oversight on these kind of events, when they're actually happening, no one really will come out. And so they just happen, and then there doesn't seem to be any real follow-up on it. But I do totally appreciate the efforts that you've done in pursuing this, because, of course, Prindle Creek happened in 2013, so it's been a while. And Beloved, we know, has been going on. So I do approve. I hope you take the opportunity to read the comments. And I understand there's another public hearing on the 28th of June.
Whatever, 2 weeks.
Something like that.
Yes.
So I hope to, if there's a revamp, apparently there have been some changes. I would like to get those and review them and make additional comments. But again, thank you very much for what you've done. But just remember, a fire that will just wipe out not just Five Rivers,
That would be catastrophic.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments?
Yeah. I don't have much to add to it. My mom is a neighbor in Five Rivers. My name is Carol Bigstrom.
And Carol, will you make sure to type your name back there so we have your spelling
correct? Oh, okay. No, I think there's enough copies for it. So there's more detail in there. And I'm so appreciative that you're doing this because of what we went through in Five Rivers. And I just summarized a little of it in there of what we lived through for 10 years with those events out there. It was a nightmare. And none of it was Lincoln County's fault because it was in Lane County, but the road. The only access was our road. And so my main concern if when you're doing this ordinance is preventive. And instead of just issuing a permit, that there be requirements that would actively prevent the kind of situation we had out there, which was no enforcement of anything, because their police for Lane County would have to come from Eugene by the time they got there. There's nothing to be happening anyway. I mean, these were the experiences we had. You know, we would call 911. They didn't even know where we were. And so I would really like you to, I mean, I just gave some suggestions, gave my comments, but I'd really like you to consider that these events don't profit anybody here. They only profit these promoters and organizers who don't even live here. And we're the ones that pick up all the pieces afterwards. It seems like, you know, miles of junk on the roads, people crapping in our driveways. I mean, this is what we had to put up. Illegal camping, illegal campfires, and then these horrendous fires. I just put a picture at the end of the one in 2013 with fireworks and accelerants and at the height of fire season. It was absolutely terrifying. Plus, on your noise ordinance, my home is 10 miles from Pringle Creek, and their music kept me awake all night. So that's the kind of, we're talking about noise levels and the way the hills are and everything else that we get. It was, I don't know how to put it, but you can probably imagine. So that's the kind of thing I tried to address a little bit in here in terms of something that might actually work on the noise. And the main thing is these organizers should pay for all of it. I don't think the county taxpayers should have to pay for extra police, extra fire protection, extra medical personnel, just so these people can make a profit. I mean, I'm sorry, that's why, you know. So that's what I tried to address in here. And I really appreciate, I would like to help any way I can.
Okay, thank you for the input.
Want to ask anybody else? Okay.
I'm going to suggest since we had some more input, we go back and take a look at this stuff that's come through to see if there's some additional tweaks we might make. Mm-hmm. So we'll see whether or not we propose just doing a second reading 2 weeks from now, just incorporate the changes, or if we come back for another initial reading on this, if we make major changes. Okay. So we'll let you know.
Great.
Okay. If I might, one of the things that seems to make some sense to me is if we limit the hours within 1,000 feet, and there's still issues beyond that, why not just limit the hours entirely?
I think so.
Well, I want to talk about this and look at this a little bit. It concerns me the state hasn't done that, and then we turn around and ask if we can do it. I'm not saying we can't do it, but if it's good for the goose, it probably should be at least consideration at the state level too. And I have a problem with when you start to make that closure, there's bars and restaurants and all kinds of things. Is this the first step to making 2 o'clock establishments shut down? Or I don't know. There's things in my mind I'm concerned about 2 o'clock, but also there should be a decibel level on it in my mind too, as to.
But who's going to carry decibel monitoring?
Yeah, I think we're trying to look for ways that it practically accomplishes rather than just setting standards that are hard to enforce, too.
Right.
So,
well, Are they hard to enforce? That's the question, because we have to do it on Mars. We've had several cases. The one right there in Lincoln City, you remember, Glen Eden Beach, where that one bar was open and the people next to it, they had decibel readings and everything else on it.
Well, that's in an urban environment, you can use things like that. It's much more difficult in a rural environment to do that. So. I think I'm hearing what you've got in terms of areas of concern. Let's see if we can try and address things.
I'd like to make it as compatible as possible with the other codes.
Okay.
Okay. Not then. Make a little more work on it.
Yeah.
Okay. We move down to reports, I believe. I'm looking at this.
Yep, you're right, Mr. Chair.
So I think you'd like to report.
I could mention a couple of things briefly. Tomorrow afternoon I'll be heading over to Salem where the Ways and Means Committee subcommittee will consider the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs budget, something that I've put a lot of energy into and AOC has put a lot of energy into, that trying to make sure that the will of the voters is followed. You may recall last November by 84% we passed a measure that was supposed to dedicate 1.5% of lottery revenue on top of existing state general fund money to veteran services in Oregon, and that, the initial governor's budget, initial co-chair's budget didn't do that, but it looks like they're moving in the direction of doing that, and I was told on Monday if the budget does move at that level that we very likely will have funding at least on a part-time basis to hire a third veteran service officer to help our veterans process compensation and benefit claims with the federal government. So I'll be doing that. And then in the evening, I'm speaking at the graduation ceremony for the Community College's Small Business Development Center. And as you both know, but not everybody in the audience may be aware, that ever since we've been getting the state lottery money dedicated to economic development, part of that every year has gone to support the programming of the Small Business Development Center. That's it.
Okay. I'll make a couple of quick reports. First of all, Commissioner Hall and I attended the financial wellness meeting, I'll call it, in Albany yesterday, and I thought it was interesting that there's become a greater awareness of the role that financial wellness plays in the health of communities and the importance in improving housing and education of people that are financially well. And last but not least, I'll give kudos to Commissioner Hall. He was recognized by Bill Hansel at the AOC meeting, Association of Oregon meeting, on Monday by Senator Bill Hansel, who I believe was a county commissioner for some 30 years before being elected to the Senate. And Senator Hansel recognized Commissioner Hall for his involvement at the legislature in advocating on behalf of Congress. So I think that's noteworthy.
Okay, thank you. I'll just pass mine on for time. So we do have constituent input. If any you can address on any subject you'd like. And seeing no one standing up and waving their arms, we'll go past that to, we have no executive sessions, so we'll just adjourn the meeting. Our next meeting is Wednesday, June 21st, Board of Commissioners, meeting room at 9:30, Lincoln County Courthouse.